In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Get comfy. So, apologies again. Life circumstance. You got me. You're expecting somebody else. You got me. My reward for you is that this will be short. So that's your reward for sticking through, for not leaving when you didn't see Joel here. This Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday, and it's kind of an odd day just placed in the middle of the summer in the church. These types of things go back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and this one is about 1,000 years old. It's a day the church set aside to commemorate what we read in our gospel. And, you know, in history, when the church does this, usually it's because we've just come through some plague or some war, and we set aside a day to celebrate. And this is no different. There was a disease spreading through Western Europe. You know, just think back about 1,000 years, not the peak of medical technology or hygiene. And when it was over, when it passed, this day was dedicated as a day of celebration, a feast day to mark health again. And so the Transfiguration, that's why it's tucked in August. You know, it goes back a long time. And in its context, the Transfiguration is kind of odd where it's placed too, because it's the story of Jesus appearing divine, or maybe showing himself to be who he truly is. And it happens as he's telling the disciples about his death. And it happened shortly before his death. So it's kind of odd how it works in the timeline that the disciples see this image of Jesus very glorious, and just in a few weeks they're going to have another image in their mind of him dying on the cross. And I think God works that way in our lives too, that we have these high points and high moments, and they're meant to carry us through our low points and low moments. So for the disciples, I believe this was a very real event to encourage them through what they were about to witness. But we could go a lot of different directions with this story. It's very rich in its meaning and in its nuance. But I just want to, because I told you we'd be short, want to talk about what I feel like was the first sermon on this. God the Father gives the first sermon on this event. And there's three times, you know, in a way we could say all of Scripture is God the Father speaking to us. And in a way, when he does it in a loud voice that people hear, it only happens three times. So we should pay attention to what he said. And the disciples see this event. They see this moment. They're not quite sure what to make of it. It passes, and God the Father booms, a voice comes out of the cloud, said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him." And just find that really timely in my life. Probably find it timely in our national life, as we don't maybe not spend a lot of time listening to one another. You know, certainly on a larger scale. But even just simply where our family is, I probably utter the phrase, "Are you listening?" 50 times a day. That's a good estimate. That's probably, might be a little low. Are you listening? Some variation of it. Are you listening? Did you hear me? What did I just say? Tell me what I just said. Didn't you hear me say that? At least probably 50 times a day. And the responses I get vary. Sometimes a no. Are you listening? No. And you have to appreciate the honesty there. No. Even more honest, I think, is the yes, but I don't want to. So yes, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I don't like it, so I'm not going to do it. And then third, which is the vast minority of responses, is okay. Yes, I hear you, and I'll comply. And you know, that's just people. That's just people. You see it in a little kid, but I mean, still, we can look at some of our issues on a national scale and just wonder: are we listening? Is anybody listening? So, like a good parent, God the Father does what we've all had to do with kids, ask them to listen. Ask them to listen. And that's what he tells the disciples. If nothing else, from this event, I'm going to ask, are you listening? This is my son. Are you listening? Because it's the most important thing we can do is listen to him. So I would think we have the same three responses. If we were there and maybe we tweak those words in the form of a question, this is my son, my chosen, are you listening? We would probably have the same response. Same three, right? No. It never even occurred to me that Jesus would have anything to say about blank. What I'm going through in my life, my sickness, my stress, my job, my family, my marriage, my children, name it, my finances. I never even occurred to me that Jesus would have anything to say. I thought I had to figure this out entirely on my own strength, on my own brains, on my own ingenuity. Didn't even think to hear what Jesus would have to say. That's probably one response. A second would be, yes, but I don't want to. Probably even a little more honest sometimes if we answer that way. Yes, I did know that Jesus does talk about this forgiveness. I know he talks about this trust. I know he talks about this generosity. I know he talks about this compassion. I know he talks about not judging. But I don't want to. I don't want to. I know he says it. I just don't want to. Right? We could give that response. And then the third would be, okay, we're going to listen, hear, digest, and comply. And really, you know, what do we have when little kids don't listen? They just think they know better. Right? We have this constant struggle. She thinks she knows better. But what I want to do is better than what you're telling me to do. And the reality is, no. It's not, and as parents we know better, and sometimes we have to say the thing, right? Because I said so, because I'm the dad, because I'm the mom. All those things that when you're young don't make sense, and then when you find yourself having children come out of your mouth just effortlessly. They just do. They just do. But we do. We do. And, you know, it's silly to think, it's silly for us to think as parents that this three-year-old knows more about the dangers of fire. Or why you don't play with the knobs on the gas grill, or why you don't, you know, why that knife isn't a good thing for you to run around the house with. Like, it would be silly to think that they would know more, but they do. And when we are listening to God, sometimes we take the same posture, right? God, I know you call us to forgive, but you don't understand this one. You don't understand the situation I'm in. This is different from all of human history and anything you've ever encountered, God. This is a unique situation. You don't have a clue. Right? We know better. What the first sermon on this event says is, no, you don't. Listen to him. Listen to him. He's coming. He's here to give you words of life. He's here to set you free. He's here to bring you into the family of God and make you sons and daughters and so you have the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Listen to him. There are those rare times, you know, when you have pride as a parent, when you actually hear something that you've said sink in. Right? They're rare times. Maybe they get more frequent. No, they don't. Okay. Good. So they are rare times when you see them sink in, right? And you know, we were having this talk the other day about touching the stove when it got hot. And we're at this point, Rosie made a comment to me. She said, Dad, don't touch the stove. It's very hot, right? Like she had to explain to me what we had already explained to her. And it was cute because, you know, you feel like, okay, you listened. You heard it. Great. Pride. In those moments. You heard it. That's all I wanted. Because that's what's best. I think the Father says the same thing. You listen. Right? That's all I wanted. Because I sent my son to show you what was best. Not because I have arbitrary rules, but to show you the way of life. Are you listening? Are you listening? So I would just leave with a thought and a question. If you want to listen, and you don't know where to start, this isn't an overwhelming task. You don't have to pick up the Bible and memorize it. You don't have to do those things. We start just with the teaching of Jesus. You know, countless people over countless centuries have been transformed by just picking up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and reading to see what Jesus has to say. It's not long. 16 pages, 15 pages maybe. It's where we start listening. It's not an overwhelming task. You don't have to have the whole scripture memorized. Just start with the words of Jesus. And then the next question would be, in this coming week or month or wherever you are in your life, you'll make decisions. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen? Same three answers for every decision. No, not interested in what Jesus has to say. This one's unique. He doesn't understand. Yes, I hear him, but I don't want to. Or okay, I'll listen. That's our choice with every decision we make. So as you make your decisions in life this week, I would ask the question that I think the Father would ask us from this event. Are you listening? This is my son, my chosen. He came to show you the way of life. Are you going to listen? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.